Good morning and welcome to Neocotti View. I'm Peter Newman. Our view this morning is overlooking the valley outside of Tillamook, where our guest is Karen Schrader. She is the president and executive director of United Paws of Tillamook County. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Peter. Always a pleasure.
United Paws. You know, if you go online and you just do a search for paws, you come up with a lot of organizations. I'm from Washington State, so I'm sort of familiar with the paws up there.
Paws in Seattle, of course, right?
So let's start with the organization. And are these paws around the country? Are they affiliated, or are they, what is paws?
Happily, paws, as in United Paws in Tillamook, are in fact united, and they are all local, homegrown paws. We are an independent group. We are not affiliated with any national group of any sort. We operate fully independently as a 501c3 charity. We work solely for animals in Tillamook County. All donations that come in are of course, kept here in Tillamook County. So it's a homegrown group that was started 10 years ago now by two ladies here in Tillamook. And it's grown ever since, and it's become quite a broad spectrum service group for the animals of the county.
Well, ostensibly, the control of animals is a county responsibility, and there is the Tillamook County Animal Shelter. Why is there also paws?
Well, that is true that there is a certain onus on every county to offer some sort of animal control, which largely, and in fact in Tillamook County, exclusively refers to the control of dogs. So in the legislature, in the county statutes, there is no provision for any care of cats or dealing with cats whatsoever. So it's purely a dog statute, so to speak, and that has typically now for the last number of years been handled as a cooperative effort between the county and a contractual relationship with another volunteer group here in Tillamook County, which is Tillamook Animal Shelter. A bit of a misnomer, as the shelter they had was very provisional, to put it mildly, but they did an amazing job with what they had, and worked closely with the county to take care of what the county needed as far as in their opinion meeting the letter of the law, so to speak.
So what is the county doing or not doing?
Well, they have decided earlier this year, the commission decided to terminate the contract that they have typically had yearly with TAS, the animal shelter, to handle all of the law enforcement related dogs, so stray dogs that are picked up, animals that are left abandoned by virtue of arrests, things like that. And those have all been handled up to this year by the animal shelter. They would transfer control of the dogs to the animal shelter, and then they would handle them as appropriate afterward. And no dog was euthanized in that program for any reason except for, an end-stage health issue. So they were all adopted out or held until they could be adopted into a good home. Currently, now that that contract has ended, my understanding is that the county, falls under the auspices of Sheriff Long's division to handle this animal control, and so they have initiated a program to do it in-house out at the Port of Tillamook County, where the sheriff's correctional facility is, and it is my understanding that they are hoping to use some of the inmates from the correctional facility to help do the everyday work of holding these dogs. There's really, to my knowledge, not a facility out there that is suitable for this sort of thing on the scale that they would need. So I'm not entirely sure what's been the progress on that in the last few months, but I know that they did come to the decision to do it in-house, so to speak. And the law only provides for 72 hours. For an animal, say a stray dog is picked up on the street, and it may be your pet dog, for example, but if your dog doesn't have a tag identifying it and with your phone number on it, if he's just out there without a collar or a microchip, he has 72 hours legally, and then the county is at its free will to do what they deem appropriate with the animal, and that does include euthanasia.
And you said this is strictly dog, so this doesn't even count the stray cat issue.
Absolutely, yeah. There is absolutely no municipal or county involvement with assistance for any sort of cat issue in the county. And that is largely, while United Paws was started as a spay-neuter group to help low-income and feral cat spay-neuter to improve in the county, it has largely grown into an organization that is typically associated with helping more cats than dogs, but it's simply by virtue of the need being so great to help with the cats in the county and the dogs having TAS as a wonderful support for them. So we care for both cats and dogs, we help both cats and dogs, but the majority of our rescue work involves cats.
For as long as I can remember, there has been this, please get your dog and your cat spayed or neutered, and the story just, it's just there. It's just one of those little posters or bumper stickers that won't go away. What's it going to take?
Well, we hope to have more posters and more bumper stickers appearing in and around Tillamook County to stress the need. It is the answer. It is simply the answer to so many of the issues that face not only Tillamook County, but pretty much every county in America with the pet overpopulation program, homelessness, the number of kitten deaths that occur every year in Tillamook County alone would stagger you. If you had an idea, just because there are so many unspayed females around, and it just leads to so great a suffering. I mean, the suffering is immense among companion animals here in this county, and spay-neuter is the ultimate answer. It is, United Paws has grown from doing only spay-neuter into a full-fledged rescue adoption, foster adoption group. We foster all the animals we take in. We do not have any facility. We have no shelter. We use the kindness of people who open their homes to foster these animals until they can be rehomed.
How do you communicate? I imagine the internet is a great help there.
Yeah, the internet has been a wonderful invention for United Paws. You can imagine an all-volunteer organization trying to coordinate all sorts of work like that across an 80-some mile long county. It's been a boon for United Paws. And we did, when I came several years ago, set up a cloud based system for us to communicate a lot of our information back and forth. So there's up to the minute information on, which animals we have in our care, what their status is, etc. And we have a very active Facebook page, both public page and our own volunteer page, where a lot of business is done. So instead of always picking up the phone, people are using Facebook a lot, or we certainly use a lot of texts and things to keep everybody, coordinated. But it's amazing how well it really works.
Yeah, so walk us through the step. I'm driving along and I see a stray kitten on the side of the road meowing, and I stop and I pick the cat up, the kitten up, and it doesn't run away and it doesn't bite me, and I put it in my car. Now what do I do, and then what happens from there?
Well, hopefully you're aware, or someone in the next town where you stop and tell your story will point you in the direction of United Paws, or if you called Animal Control, they would of course direct you to United Paws in this situation. And you could either call, you can reach us through our Facebook page. We have people monitoring messages on Facebook all day and long. And or you can email us. So in your case, you'd probably call and the message would come in and one of our volunteers would respond to you as promptly as we can. We do our best, but we are all volunteers and our people work and have jobs and so forth, but they do dedicate a lot of their spare time to helping cases just like this. So we would get back with you and set up a time to talk to you about whether you wanted to continue your good Samaritan-ness and by fostering that kitten?
I would think that would be the first question.
That would be the first question, right. Of course, because, you know, there's no such thing as too many foster homes for us. So, you know, if you were interested and willing, and oftentimes people are, they, you know, it's a sort of immediate bond develops when you rescue an animal like that. And so if you're able to do that, we could help you get set up with all the equipment and you would need and all the help you would need as far as advice, et cetera, and you would hang on to the animal and until we could get it adopted out into an appropriate home. And if you're not able to do that, if you're just passing through or your situation doesn't permit, then we would arrange to have someone, you know, meet you and take the kitty and bring it into one of our foster home facilities where we could care for them and make sure they were healthy and get whatever they needed with that respect, and then spayed or neutered and adopted out into a good home.
Our guest this morning on Nia County View is Karen Schrader. She is the president and executive director of United Paws of Tillamook County. I saw a news story, I believe, last week or just even a few days ago that in California, sort of an air rescue thing where they're shipping, I think it was primarily dogs, and I think the story referenced Oregon and Washington as if we have the capacity to absorb that. They must think so. Did you see that story?
I'm familiar with the program, certainly, and it is, yes, it is true that we have, particularly in the Portland area in Oregon, we have an amazing ability to absorb both dog and cat overflow from other shelters. And California and the southern states in the U.S. are the two most critically overcrowded shelter situations as far as both cats and dogs go. And so over the last, I would say, 10 years, programs have been developing. It's everything from, you know, it started with people driving them from Southern California up to Oregon, to Portland, and they'd have 10 dogs in their car, and they'd make the drive, you know, in one swoop and drop them off with one of the organizations in Portland that was willing to accept them, and then they'd drive back home, and they would do this. Well, this developed into people actually, you know, incorporating, setting up charities, buying, you know, 18-wheel trailers and kitting them out with kennels inside, and making runs now with, you know, entire semi-loads of rescue animals that are being taken from a situation where they have, you know, virtually no hope of adoption because of the numbers. There's just no room in the shelter to even put them in there. And the demand, for example, you know, Chihuahuas in Southern California are just epidemic, if you will. You know, there's just so many of them that they can't possibly find homes for all of them. Whereas up here in Oregon, you know, we don't have that many of them in shelter situations, and so they're kind of a hot commodity up here. So it's worked out beautifully. It's a program that, you know, one sits back and asks, why didn't this start 50 years ago? You know, why have we been doing this all along? But, you know, somebody finally decided that, hey, you know, maybe somebody else can do this that I can't. And so I think the internet has had a lot to do with that developing. It's just the ease of communication between groups now, and the information flow is so much easier. But yeah, it is an amazing thing. But thousands and thousands of animals are being transferred now every year.
But clearly, Tillamook County is not a candidate because you earlier referenced the capacity here. So this would be more a Portland.
It typically involves, yeah, more of the metropolitan areas. Particularly Portland is such a dog-friendly city and cat-friendly, and they do accept both cats and dogs. Oregon Humane Society is one of the main organizations that participates in this. They call it their second chance program, where they accept transfers from other shelters of both cats and dogs and rabbits and all sorts of other things. And we do actually participate in the program, but the flow is outward from Tillamook County, as a matter of fact, into Portland, where we have transferred over the past 3 years, probably approaching 100 kittens into Portland over the three summers, because OHS has just a tremendous publicity program. They have, you know, they have more demand than they have kittens during the summer, believe it or not. And I was able to get us involved with that program when I came, and it's been an amazing thing to help us relieve the pressure during the summer of kitten season, because that's, of course, when everybody's bathroom and utility room and everything else is stuffed full of kittens because there's just such a need here and nowhere else to turn.
So. Okay, we'll get back to something serious in a moment, but I also read a day or two ago that a survey, and setting aside the implied, very clear sexist nature of the survey, I don't know if you saw the survey about single women and cats and populations in the United States, that Portland is number one, Seattle is a close second, and third isn't even, is way down on the list. What is it about the Northwest and single women?
I don't know. I guess I'd like to think it's just that, you know, we live in such a beautiful environment that's so close to nature, so much of it, that we are by nature a very empathetic group of people up here for people, for animals, for nature, for environmental causes. So I think that has something to do with it.
You're handling this with exquisite diplomacy.
Well, thank you. And you know, I myself, being a woman, we don't have children. We have cats. You know, and that's not unusual in this day and age. A lot of women are not, you know, we're not getting married at age 19 any longer, typically, and you know, staying at home to raise the kids necessarily. So. That mothering instinct turns somewhere, and you know, cats seem to be the good beneficiary of that.
Well, having two, I now need to account for myself, but I can do that on my own time. Well, back to United Paws. We're getting into the holiday season, which I suppose is a blessing, but it's kind of a mixed blessing. The idea of bringing an animal, companion animal, into your home is a very endearing thought, but not without its downside.
Absolutely. It is the proverbial double-edged sword, of course. From our perspective as a rescue group, as a shelter that's trying to place animals, we of course are delighted when any time someone considers adopting a shelter animal and giving the gift of a second chance to an animal, and also opens up a place in the shelter for another animal. So when you adopt a shelter animal, a rescue animal, you're actually saving two lives. So it's kind of a twofer deal, which is always good around the holidays. But there are serious concerns associated, particularly around Christmas time, with adoptions. Typically, you know, animals as gifts is not always a favorite subject for us. It's something that we, you know, we like to know that there has been adequate consideration given by the person adopting to, you know, why do I want this animal? Why now? There's always the pressure. If you have children, of course, you want that Christmas morning special puppy to pop out of the box or kitten. And we understand that. And we love to make those things come true. And we do every year. We've arranged the past several Christmases to, you know, specially transfer a kitten or a puppy or something that, you know, was in fact wrapped up in the box and put under the tree just for that perfect moment. But there, along with that, go a lot of concerns that, you know, that this is not a, you know, you haven't bought the latest Power Ranger or whatever, Lord knows, the popular toy this year is PlayStation, that, you know, in a year or two is going to get given to the Goodwill when the kids are done with it. This is a commitment that you are talking for, you know, 15 to 20 years if you're adopting a young animal. And, you know, your children are likely to be out of the home before that animal's lifetime will be up. So it's not without some, you know, serious consideration that needs to be given before you decide to bring a pet into your home at any time of year.
And it can be a stressful, or at least a noisy time of year around the house.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's a time when there's just people moving in and out, and there's things happening. And
absolutely, and the holidays.
Recognize that as well.
Excuse me for interrupting, but yeah, the holidays are the most challenging time to bring a new addition into the home, be it a dog or a cat. Both need time to get accommodated to their, accustomed to their own surroundings, new surroundings, and the new people involved. And there's there's almost always house guests and people that don't normally live there, and a lot of hullabaloo and bright shiny things all over the place to play with that they're not supposed to. And so it's something that you can certainly consider. There are ways that, you know, we have some suggestions we could make, like, for example, if you really have your heart set on an animal as a Christmas gift, say for your son or daughter or for the family, you might consider, come to talk to United Paws or Tomac Animal Shelter if you're looking for a dog, or we can help you to pick out that pet. But, perhaps consider wrapping up an adoption kit and putting it under the tree, a new bowl and some treats and a leash or a nice soft bed. Put all of those things in a box, or with a stuffed kitten, for example, and that can be the gift that's open that morning. But then in all relative peace, go after Christmas when things have calmed down and the guests have gone home, and you have the time to pick out just the right pet for you, without that stress of having to take care of that pet while you're taking care of the house guests and the kids are running around playing with all their new toys and things. So. Just a suggestion, but one that, allows the joy to happen that night, but you still have the ability to avoid some of the biggest pitfalls of bringing a new animal into the home.
Karen Schrader, the President and Executive Director of United Paws of Tillamook County, our guest this morning on the Econa View. Well, what's coming up with United Paws? Any big plans, little plans, intermediate?
All of the above. We will, of course, have our monthly Adopt-a-Thon coming up in December. That will be the third weekend of September, or December, excuse me, just before Christmas, as a matter of fact. So if you are looking for a pet to add to your household, that would be a wonderful opportunity to come and meet the pets we have available.
And where will that be?
That will be at the 4-H dorm on the fairgrounds here in Tillamook on 3rd Street. That will be Saturday. Third Saturday. More long-term plans, we have very big plans, as a matter of fact. True to our roots as a spay-neuter group and our committed belief that spay and neuter is the answer to reducing the immense suffering that both cats and dogs in Tillamook County undergo by virtue of the overpopulation issue, United Paws is in advanced stage of development for opening our own spay-neuter clinic in Tillamook. So we would have a central location, physical location, where we would be able to have a significantly increased capacity for spaying and neutering both dogs and cats. Particularly focusing on people who can't perhaps afford to take their animal to the vet, and that's what's prohibiting them from getting them spayed or neutered, taking care of stray animals that come, that are outside unspayed and neutered, which is a huge source of the pet problem, overpopulation problem we have in the county, and dealing with the so-called feral or community cat population, which are the cats that are not socialized to people, particularly barn cats typically fall under that sort of umbrella as well. And so we have very big plans, very exciting plans. This is something that will put the group at a whole other level of ability to attack this problem in Tillamook County.
It's quite a big new level too, and. You just mentioned the barn cats. So do you have people who know how to can suss out the cat behavior and work with animals like that? I mean, I would have no idea where to begin.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful group of experienced volunteers and some new ones that are, learning the trade and the craft. It is a specialty talent to trap cats that are not socialized. Your pet cat, you put them in the carrier, and that can sometimes be a challenge enough. But of course, trying to catch cats that are out on a farm or around town where they're not typically allowing themselves to be touched or picked up, that involves trapping. So we use safe, humane traps and bait them with the smelliest cat food we can find, and set them in secret locations with great care. And then wait and just hope for the best. And we have some people who have really refined it to an absolute science. So we are able to very quickly to also help people learn the basics of that. And it's there, anybody can learn to trap and help us out. And we do encourage people when they call us, you know, we can bring a trap, we can check out a trap to you if, you know, once we've gone over the basics of it with you, and then you can actually give us the hand by setting that trap yourself around your house to catch that kitty that, you know, you're trying to stop from having 3 litters of kittens every summer for you.
Learn to be a cat whisperer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to whisper. You just have to sit in the house and watch the trap.
So. One of the things I think is very marvelous, and I learned this myself, I've always been a fan, and I've always owned a Siamese cat, and I've always, in the past, bought the cat from, maybe not a breeder who breeds purebreds, but, you know, I paid money for the animal. And I always felt bad about that, because there's another animal that I could have gotten for free that could have been rescued. And discovered that really these days, you can go online, and if you want a cat with a purple stripe down its back, you can. There is a shelter out there somewhere that has your cat.
You are absolutely right.
No, they're really, unless you insist on a papered, purebred cat, there is no reason ever to pay a nickel for a cat, and forego the shelter.
Absolutely, you are completely right about that, Peter. And I will add, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of purebred, even some papered, animals that are in shelter care around the country, and here in Oregon, we see, you know, it's people mean the best, and they think that they want a specific breed for a specific reason, and sometimes it just doesn't work out, you know, and that's oftentimes related to, you know, expectations being too great for the animal that they're adopting. You know, they're expecting something that they've read in a book, and that particular animal that they get doesn't fill that need. And so these animals do end up in shelters every day. We just took in an animal the other day, a cat who is a registered Norwegian forest cat. He's a magnificent fellow, but his owner was transferred overseas. He couldn't take him with him, and the fellow who was keeping him couldn't keep him any longer. So they show up, and we have wonderful the wonderful ability now to go online and search for pets that, you know, if you do want one with a purple stripe and a dot on their nose, you'll find one. There is one somewhere in the country, and, you know, we'll make one for you if you need be. So, you know, just call us. But I can recommend petfinder.com. It's a wonderful search engine. You can go online and you can search locally. You can put United Paws name in and you'll pull up all of the cats that we have available and dogs. You could put your own zip code in for local animals. And you can look in Portland and you can look in New York. You could search the whole country for an animal. We had a lady actually last month who submitted an application for one of our kitties that was in New York, and she'd seen him online and fallen in love with his profile and thought that was the cat for him, and she was going to have him flown from here to New York. So, you know, the internet has opened up so many possibilities in rescue that they're truly the animal that you seek is out there and waiting for you if you just look.
And your website is?
www.unitedpaws.org. That's just unitedpaws.org.
And the Adopt-A-Thon is coming up third Saturday in December at the fairgrounds.
I believe it's the 19th, but don't quote me on that. Absolutely. Third Saturday at the fairgrounds here in Tillamook from 12 to 3.
Karen Schrader, who is the president and executive director of United Paws of Tillamook County. Have a great holiday season. Much success with everything that's going forward.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a joy to be with you, and thank you for caring about the animals of Tillamook County.
And everybody, have a great Thanksgiving, and we will see you next month on Neocon View.